Okay, today's daf is Kuf Yud Gimel. We finished yesterday with the end of Kuf Yud Bet. We had Rav Meir Bar Rachel, who, by the way, I remembered now. We looked him up before. Rav Meir Bar Rachel is the daughter of Shmuel. If you remember, the daughters of Shmuel got taken into captivity, and she ended up having a child with this non-Jewish man, but who did convert. And but because she has better yichus than he did, so they mention her name. Okay, so we actually came across this before, but I didn't remember. Okay, so what happened? They were imloch basar shchuta bahade basar treifa. Okay, she ended up with this case where there was basar treif. There was salted anachi. He, son of Rachel, ended up with this piece of basar shchuta with a basar treva that was salting. And they asked Rava, what's the situation? Because the question is, even though we said the dam, while it's busy spitting out blood, it can't absorb blood, but maybe while it's busy spitting out blood, it can't absorb blood, but it could absorb some of the other stuff. And then the question is, would that be asur? So, like the juices of the meat. So, what did he answer? Hatimeim, right? The pasuk Elu Hatimeim Lachem Chol Asheretz, which with the Ha Yediyah meant even the Tzir and the Rotev and the Kefah Shalahem. All the stuff, the juices and the gravy and even the sides of the pot that were cooked, which obviously isn't relevant for this. Here we're talking about the Tzir, which is the juices that come out of it, are also Asur. So then the Gemara asked, which now in light of the fact that this was Shmuel's grandson, was interesting because now they say, well, Lemele did to Shmuel. Why didn't he just say from Shmuel? That was the reason. Damer Shmuel, Maliach Hareu Kirotech, Kavush Hareu Kmevushal. And then we said that if we only learned it from Shmuel about Malicha transferring taste, then again, you still might have thought, Hani Mile Daman, Aval Tziram Verot Van Lo. That might pass on, the Malicha might cause Dam to be. But the tzir and the rotev maybe isn't even really forbidden. Because even though you could say it passes flavor, maybe that juice isn't anything, right? We saw Rashi said it's zeahu. It's just like kind of like steam that passes. It's really nothing. So therefore, we need a rabbi to say that source. So now the Gemara brings a metive. They bring a source from a braita. Okay, you can look. I put on your sheet the whole braita. Okay, because we're going to see. First, they're going to bring the first part of the braita. Then they're going to say, oh no, that doesn't make sense with the second part of the braita, and then they're going to say, oh, that doesn't make sense with the, or we're going to eventually bring the third part of the braita as a koshi also. So we're going to start with the beginning of the braita as a koshi. The next part's going to be after we kind of reject that, we're going to say maybe the last part of the braita, they call it the seifa of the seifa, because there's three parts. So maybe that part. So let's go through. Dag tahor shemalcho im dag tamei mutar. If you have a non-kosher fish with a kosher fish that are salting together, it's mutar. So now, what do we assume? My lav shayushnehem luchim, that they were both in salt, which means that we're worried that the flavor is going, and yet, what do we see here? It's all mutar. What do you see? That you don't have to worry about the tzir. And Rava said, you do have to worry about the juices. So this seems to imply, if they were both salted, and as again, the assumption is, we're making an assumption that the dag tahor and the dag tameh are both in salt. So then they say, lo, you could say, maybe the case is, kigon shayat tahor maliach v'tameh tafil. You could say the tahor was being salted, but the tameh was not being salted. And they were, I guess, just next to each other. And since the tameh wasn't being salted, so the salt wasn't drawing anything out of it, and therefore it's mutar. And that means then, right, that if that's the case, if they were both being salted, it would be asur, and that would support Rava. So basically, we tried to bring this as a question of Rava. We said, you can't necessarily say that. So now the Gemara says, no, but it can't be, because hamid yekatane seifa, and this is really the middle, but they're calling it the seifa compared to the resha. It says in the seifa, if you look at Masoret HaShas, they change the nusach a little, hayat tahor maliach v'tamei tafil mutar. Okay, if the tahor was maliach, and the tameh was tafel, then it would be mutar, meaning, okay, so the braita reads like this, so that's why I charted it to make it easier. The first part says, dag tahor shemachom dag tameh mutar. Then it says, hayat tahor maliach v'tameh tafel mutar. What does that seem to imply? That's an additional case, which means the first case can't be that. That's what we tried to say the first case was. So they say, that can't possibly be, because the Seifa says that. So basically, they say Michlal deresha bishishnehem meluchim askinan. So it must be that both of them were being salted. In which case, that's a question again for Rava. So what's the answer, right? Because now we have the first part ishnehem meluchim. The second part is one is maluach, the tameh is tafel, and both cases show their mutar. So what is the Gemara answer? Which again, then would go against Rava, who said if shnehem meluchim, it would be asur. Perushe kamefarish. We could say that the structure of this braita is that the first part is the second part is explaining the first part. Tahor shemachom dag tamei mutar. Ketzad shayat tahor maliach v'tamei tafel. So if you just add that one word in the middle, ketzad, you resolve it, and then you basically say the second part is explaining the first part. Now, the Gemara seems like, right, you're laughing, okay, but the Gemara is going to say it actually makes a lot of sense. Why? Hachinami mistabram, what they're going to do is they're going to prove that this is true, which again would support Rava, but they're going to reject the proof afterwards. They're going to say, not such great proof. Hachinami mistabra, this should be a good proof. Why? If really the way we read it before was that the first part would be shnehem aluchim, and then the second part would be one is maluach and the tameh is not maluach. So hashda shnehem aluchim share tahor maliach v'tameh tafel mebaya. Right? If both salt are being salted and it's mutar, obviously if only the tahor is salted and the tameh is not being salted, obviously it's going to be mutar, and therefore why would you need them both? Therefore, it makes a lot of sense to say what we just said, that really the first part, the second part is coming to explain the first part. But then they say, no, that's not a good proof. Why? Imishum ha lo iria. That's not a good proof. Why? Tana seifa ligiluye resha. You could say, without that, that the seifa is coming to explain the case in the resha. Not explain, but reveal what the case is in the resha. We've seen this a number of times. Dilo tema resha tahor maliach v'tameh tafel aval shnehem meluchim asur. Therefore, right, if you just had tahor maliach v'tameh, if you just, let's say you just had dag tahor shemachom dag tameh mutar, you wouldn't have known which case this is. You might have thought it's only when tahor maliach v'tameh tafel. Therefore, the second case comes to tell you that even shnehem aluchim, the first case is even shnehem aluchim, right? The fact that the second case is not that makes it clear that that's the first case. And therefore, delotem a resha tor maliach v'tameh tafel aval shnehem aluchim asur, right? Don't think that maybe dag tor shemachom dag tameh mutar is only if the tahor is being salted and the tameh is not. Therefore, it had to tell you Tana Seifa, Tahor Maleach v'Tamei Tafel, in order to teach you Michlal. From here, you will be able to infer De Reisha Shnehem Aluchim VaAfilu HaChishare. Okay. Therefore, we're left with what? The Braita can be explained in both ways. You could say the Reisha Shnehem Aluchim, which is Mutar, which goes against Rava, or you could say the Reisha is the Seifa is really coming to explain the Reisha, and really, it's all talking about only a case where the tameh was not being salted, in which case Rava would be proven correct. But since it goes in both ways, we can't really prove anything. So now we're going to introduce the third part of that braita as, a question on Rava. Tashma miseifa de seifa. Let's learn it, though, from the last part, the end of the end. Aval im haya tameh maliach, what if the non-kosher piece was being salted, v'tahor tafel, but the kosher piece was not being salted, then it would be asur. Okay, that's what the braita says. Tameh maliach, v'tahor tafel, huda asur. So now what do you see from here? Dafka, if the tameh is being salted and the tahor is not being salted, that's when it's going to be asur. Because what did we say again? If it's being salted, it's busy being salted and it can't absorb. So therefore, hashnehem aluchim, so if it's not being salted, that's when it's usher, because then it's going to absorb. But hashnehem aluchim, but one would be able to infer from the seifa, if they were both being salted, it would be shari, it would be mutar. And again, that goes against Rava, who said if they're both being salted, it is asur. So now they say, oh no, you can't prove it from the lashon and the seifa. Why? Because you could say, I de detana resha tahor maliach v'tameh tafel, tana nami seifa tameh maliach v'tahor tafel. The only reason why Dafka said that case and not shnehem aluchim was just to compare it to the middle case. The middle case is the reverse, right? So then they bring the reverse case. But it doesn't necessarily mean they said it in that Lashon specifically to infer Hashneihem Eluchim would be Aser. No. Hashneihem Eluchim would be Mutar. No, you could say that case is Aser. And even Shneihem Eluchim, even if both of them are being salted, it would be Aser. As long as the Tameh is Maliach, that means it's already, you know, going to be spitting out its stuff in Maliach HaReu Kiroteach, and therefore it's going to be Asur, and therefore this doesn't necessarily prove anything. So again, we don't really have good questions against Ravid. That wasn't dizzying enough. Okay, Amr Shmuel. Ein habasar yotze midei damo, ela inken mocho yafe yafe, until now we've talked about salting meat, but now they're going to add, not only do you have to salt it, and here they say, salt it, yafe yafe. Okay, big debate what that means. Yafe yafe, what does it sound like?
With care.
Okay, yafe, well. Sounds with care, very well. Okay, so, sounds like maybe two times, yafe yafe, right? Do it twice. Some people say three times. The Rambam says there's no amount. It's just, oh, sorry, I said it wrong. No, I'm actually, that was my mistake. I'm talking, that's the midicho yafe yafe. Midicho yafe yafe, there's a debate, okay? I'll get into that in a minute. Mocho yafe yafe means put the salt all over, possibly. Some say you have to put so much salt that it's inedible, which connects to the sugya we saw previously about you can't eat it machmat mocho, according to one of those interpretations. The poskim say 18 minutes minimum, interesting, like matzah. You know, sort of the reverse. But generally, they do it for an hour. And we're going to see later, they do it with a kli menukav like we saw yesterday with holes in it so that everything drips out. We're adding, in addition to this mocho yafe yafe, now this yafe yafe, also midicho yafe yafe. You have to rinse it. Now, what does it mean to rinse it? Yafe yafe. So here there's a machloket. Is it two times? Is it three times? The Rambam says there's no minimum amount of times. It's just until it's no longer red. Itmar. It was said that Rav Huna Amar Molech Umediach. Okay, he said you have to salt and rinse, like we just said. B'matnita Tana, but in a Braita it says Mediach Umolech Umediach. You have to rinse it before the salting, then salt it, and then rinse it. The Lo Plige, and actually there's no machloka between Rav Huna and this Braita. Hade Chalalei Beit Habacha, Hade Lo Chalalei Beit Habacha. Everybody agrees that you have to rinse it first. The question is, when you're in your house and you go to salt it, if already the butcher rinsed it, then you only have to do, in other words, Rav Huna, who said just maliach umediach, he meant, assuming you got it already rinsed, the assumption is the butcher already rinses the meat, and then the issue is just that you as an individual need to do that. But if you were starting from scratch and no one had rinsed it, then you would have to also rinse it before. What's the purpose of this rinsing before? So again, there's a debate. Some people say it's to soften the meat so that it can then spit out the blood, in which case they claim that it doesn't just mean, normally mediach means to rinse. But here they say it doesn't mean to rinse, it means to soak it, to actually soak it for a little bit in water so that it'll soften up. Some people say it's to get rid of any blood that has already started coming out. And then they say, what's the issue? So either, again, a debate, either we're concerned that if there's blood that already started coming out of the meat, since it already came out, when you put it in the salt, it's now going to be absorbed by the meat while you're salting it. Because, and that's right, what do we keep saying? It spits out, but it doesn't absorb. But if it's already spit out, then maybe it'll reabsorb it. But that's a little difficult because we already said while it's busy spitting out blood, it doesn't absorb. So the other interpretation is that it'll get into the salt. If the blood is already outside the meat, it will get absorbed in the salt. And once it gets absorbed into the salt, the salt will lose its potency. And it won't be able to salt properly. So, basically, midiach, I was thinking similar to, I don't know, it's not really the same, but it was reminding me of women at the mikveh. When you tovel first, then you go out and say the bracha, and then you tovel again, right? There's like this, it's actually the biyoseh tushitot, it's different. But it's sort of that, like, you have the two steps, one before, one after. I don't know. It's not really the same. Okay. Rav Dimi Minahardea, Malachle b'milcha galalnita. He would salt it in melach gas, the big pieces of salt, umenapetzle. And then he would shake it off once it was done salting. He would kind of brush off all the salt. So there's a debate about whether If, what's the issue? The issue is that the big pieces of the coarse salt doesn't get absorbed into the meat, and therefore you have to shake it off because in that salt is now blood. If it's regular, like table salt, right, then it'll already just get absorbed into the meat and it's fine. Or some people say, no, Dafti, he said you have to use melech gas so that it doesn't get reabsorbed back into the meat, and that's why you have to, you know, and then it's the same reason why you would have to take it off. He would take it off before you did the hadacha. Okay, then you would rinse it off after that. Amar Rav Misharshia, Eim machzikim dam bibnei me'ayim. We can assume that there's no dam in the innards. Okay, we're going to talk about what exactly these parts are, which means what? That if you're taking one of these pieces to eat and you didn't salt it, it's fine. You don't have to worry about it because there isn't blood in it. Rashi says this is only bidyeved, okay, if you didn't salt them. But lechatchila, you have to salt. But the Ritva says, he thinks this means even lechatchila, since there really isn't a lot of blood in there, you don't have to be concerned about the blood. So now, what are the b'nei me'ayim? Tirgama akarkasha, the rectum, ume'aya, which are the small intestine and other parts that are, I don't remember what all the names are of what they say these parts are, and the hadra decanta. I don't know, what do you have there?
The rectum, the stomachs, and the large intestines.
Right, so the different stomachs, which we saw, the different parts of the stomachs, and then the hadra decanta, the kanta that they say is the large intestines. Amar Shmuel, Eim minichim basar maliach el al gabei kli menukav. Here's our halacha, where Shmuel says, right, notice Shmuel's very prominent in the sugya, he keeps having opinions about this. You can't put basar maliach except in a kli menukav, again, so that the blood drips out. Rav Shesha malach le garma garma. Okay, he would do each piece separately. He would make sure not to put any pieces on top of another while he was salting them, because again, he was concerned, right? Even though, right, and that's what the Gemara is going to say, right? Garma garma, right? Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, "Tray my time alo." Why couldn't he put two, one on top of the other? Mishum de parish mihai ubalahai. If you're going to say the reason why he wouldn't put one on top of the other is because one might spit out and the other might absorb, chad nami, parish mehai gisa, ubala hai gisa. You could say the exact same issue with one piece of meat. It might come out of one part of the meat and get into the other part of the meat. So ela loshna. So they say what he said is really not relevant. In other words, you could really put them. And again, this goes back to what we saw before, that while they're busy spitting out, they can't absorb the blood, and therefore we're not worried about any blood being absorbed, and therefore you don't have to be makpid on what he did. Amar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chiya, hashover mifrakta shel behema kodem sheteitzei nafsha. If you break the, I think it's the neck bone. Is that what they say there? The neck bone, the mifreket? It's the neck bone or the skull? No? Okay. Mifrakta here. Yeah, the neck. If you break the neck of the animal, kodim shetetse nafsha, before it dies, harezem machbir et habasar v'gozel et habriyot umavli adam be'evarim. Okay, we're going to have to understand what these three things are. The Gemara is going to have to understand them. But right now, what does this mean? Generally, what happens when you slaughter an animal is it screams, right? And as it screams, we saw this before, right? All the blood spurts out. Now, if the animal doesn't have koch in it because you broke its neck, then it can't scream and kind of push all that blood out, which means that the blood, it's going to be machbira tabasar. The meat's going to be heavy because it's going to be filled with lots of blood, because the blood's not going to come out. And therefore, well, we'll see. Vigozela tabriot, you're going to be robbing people. See what that means. Umavli adam be'evarim. And the dam will be swallowed up in the different parts. So now the Gemara asks, Sibai elahu, hechi kamar. How are you supposed to read this line? Machbira tabasar vigozela tabriot mishum de mavli adam be'evarim. Is it read like three things, but how do these three things connect? Is it that it weighs down the meat, and because of that, people can steal money from other people, meaning the butcher who sells this is selling a heavy piece of meat. We sell meat by weight, but it's really full of blood, and it's all right. It's kind of like when you buy a very fatty piece of meat, you're paying for all that fat, right? Vigozel etabriot, mishum demavli adam be'evarim, because the dam is absorbed in the evarim. Ha ledide shapir dame. But then, according to this, It's not a problem if you plan to eat it yourself, because you're not stealing, you're not robbing anyone of any money, you're just eating it yourself.
So it's a principle issue, not a kosher issue.
Well, right. Odilma ledide nami asur. Or do we say it's also asur for him because what? What's the kosher issue? There's so much blood that you're never going to get all this blood out. Okay, and then it would be asur also for the butcher himself. And teku, we don't know the answer, right? So then obviously, what are we going to say? We have to be machmir and assume that, right? You can see the chet is right on the ledide nami asur, right? For him, it's also asur. Okay, getting back to things you could put on the table. Okay, milk and meat. Now we're going to talk about chicken. Hamale et ha'of ima gvina la shulchan. If you put chicken and cheese on the table together, eino over below ta'aseh. Okay, there's no lo ta'aseh involved. Okay, so now what are we going to assume? That you can put them on the, right? The Gemara is going to assume ha'ochlo over below ta'aseh. Right, only putting them on the table means you're not over on a lo ta'aseh. But if you would eat them together, you would be over on a lo ta'aseh. Shma mina basar of pachalav de'oraita, which then shows that this Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that of and chalav is not asur midoraita. So then they say, no, you could say like this. Maybe the Mishnah means to say, Ema ha'male ta'of ima gvina la shulchan, eino ba lidei lo ta'aseh. In other words, it won't bring you to a lo ta'aseh because there is no lo ta'aseh about of and chalav. Okay? So therefore, again, this Mishnah could be explained in different ways, and it doesn't have to be explained that it's only according to the one, right, the opinion that of is asur midoraita. Okay, new Mishnah. Basar behem, that was a quick one. Basar behema tahora. Bechalav behema tahora asur. When we talk about basar bechalav, we mean kosher meat, kosher milk, right? Milk from a kosher animal. Asur levashel v'asur bahana'ah, right? It's both asur to cook and it's asur to benefit from. Basar behema tahora, but if you take a kosher, the meat of a kosher animal, bechalav behema tme'ah, in the milk of a non-kosher animal, or basar behemat me'ah, or meat of a non-kosher animal, b'chalav behemat torah, in milk of a kosher animal, mutar levashel and mutar b'hana'ah. Okay, this is not recommending it, but it's not asur midoraita mishum basar b'chalav. Obviously, if you're going to eat it, right, it's going to be asur mishum, it's not kosher, but here we're talking about cooking and benefiting from. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chaya v'of eina min ha-Torah. Okay, Chaya and Of, here's our famous, we keep mentioning it, we finally got to the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says, Of en Chayot, right, because it only talks about a Gdi. Gdi means a behema. Therefore, anything that's not a Gdi, a Chaya and Of, is not asur midoraita. Shenemar, lo tevachshel Gdi b'chalev imo, shlosha pa'ami. Why three times? Prat l'chaya u'la'of. Okay, it's to exclude Chaya and Of. Okay, so each time one is to exclude chaya, right? We know three times achila, bishul, and hana'a. But here they're going to say, no, it's chaya, of, and behemat me'a, right? Each one is to exclude. You're not chayav if it's a chaya, you're not chayav if it's an of, you're not chayav if it's a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, lo tochlu kol nevela, ne'emar lo tochlu kol nevela, v'ne'emar lo tevashel gdi b'chalev imo. These psukim are right near each other. Okay, they're actually even in the same pasuk. Okay, I'll read you the pasuk in very mudalik kaf aleph. Lo tochlu kol nevela lager asher b'sharecha titnena v'achala o machur l'nochri ki am kadosh atah l'Hashem elokecha lo tevashel gdi b'chalev imo. So what do they learn from the juxtaposition of the two? Etch asur mishum nevela asur levashel bechalav. Okay, what's going to be asur? Only things that are asur mishum nevela. So of shasur mishum nevela yachol yehe asur levashel bechalav. So now, what should this include? So first of all, it excludes non-kosher, because non-kosher you're not chayav mishum nevela, you're chayav because it's not kosher. Right? A nevela is a kosher animal that died on its own or got killed or something without shechita. So therefore, it's only going to be kosher. Now, what else would be included? Behemot, chayot, and ofot, because all of those have a din of nevela. We know there's a din of nevela also by birds. But now comes Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but he's going to exclude birds for a different reason. So here he comes and so he says, Yachol Yehei, so Ofsha Asur Mishum Nevela, Yachol Yehei Asur Levashel B'chalav, Tamu Lamar, B'chalevimo, Yatza Ofsha Ein Lo Chalav Im. Okay, since Of doesn't have milk of its mother, right, there is no such thing, therefore it's excluded. So we now have three opinions. One opinion that excludes Of only, that's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Akiva excludes Of and Chaya. And the basic opinion, which all of the, or the Tanakhama, which all of those are included in the prohibition. Okay, now we're going to learn, we're going to try to figure out, Manane, Milay, how do we know that it's only kosher animals? That's going to be our focus right now. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Kra, Vayishlach Yehuda et, because what's the real issue here? Right? It says Gedi. So how do we know? How do we know that this includes, sorry, my mistake. The Manan Emila is, how do we know that all animals, not all, but all, I meant, sorry. How do we know that Behema, Chaya, and Of are all included? Okay, they're all kinds of animals and not just a Gedi, for example. Okay. Because it says, the truth is, right, we're talking here, we're really going to include behemot. The issue is, so here, sorry, the Manahan Emile is, how do we know it's all behemot and not just a gedi? Because it says, lo tibashel gedi b'chalev imo. It might have been just a gedi. How do we know? What we're really talking about is the first line of the Mishnah, which is basar behemah Torah b'chalav behemah Torah asur levashel v'asur b'hana'ah, meaning any behemah. So they're going back to that first line. How do we know any behemah tmi'ah? Because by Yehuda, okay, we're now going to quote two stories in Sefer Bereishit where Gdi Izim appear. So the first is Yehuda. Well, it's really the second, but the first the Gemara brings is Yehuda. When he sends to Tamar, right, it says, Vayishlach Yehuda at Gdi Ha'izim B'yav Re'eyu Ha'dumali Lakachat Ha'eravon B'yav Ha'isha V'lo Metza'ah. Right, he goes to get his stuff back that he left by Tamar. So I thought it was interesting because they're going to quote from here. And where's the other pasuk where Gdi Izim comes? By Yaakov with the brachot, right? When Rachel gives him from the Gdi Izim to cover his body to make him look like Esav. Both of these, there's like a little bit of trickery going on here, right? In a sense, it's really Tamar is the one who kind of tricks Yehuda there, and the other is Rachel is getting, right? They're both women who are using trickery to kind of get what, you know, what they want, which,
they think they
right, but exactly. In both cases, they think they're justified in getting what they are. I don't know if there's any connection to the fact of the Dizim here, but anyway, it's interesting they're both connected. So anyway, what does he say here? What does it say? Vayishlach Yehuda et Gdi Ha'izim. How is that different from our Pasuk? Our Pasuk just says Gdi Stam without any sort of descriptor. So here, there's Gdi Ha'izim. Kan Gdi Izim Ha Komakom Shnemar Gdi Stam. Afilu parav rachel b'mashma. Right? Why did it specifically say gdi ha'izim? Because this was specifically gdi ha'izim. Any other gdi means just a general term, which is going to include even all types of other behemot. Leilaf mina. Why don't we say let's learn from gdi ha'izim to all other cases? Right? Why don't we say gdi ha'izim is the prototype? Right, we have this many times in the Torah where it says something one time. We're going to say, oh, that's what we call a binyan av. We can learn from this to all other cases that maybe any time it says gedi in the Torah, it means the gedi ha'izim that was mentioned by Yehuda. So they say, oh no, can't say that because k'tiv kra achrina, because there's another pasuk, as I mentioned, by Yaakov, where Rachel tells him, right, be'et orot gediyei ha'izim hilbisha al yadav al chakat savarav. She dressed him with the gedi ha'izim, the orot of the gedi ha'izim. So because it says that, right, it teaches you, because it says it again in another pasuk, gedi ha'izim, kan gediyei ha'izim, ha kol makom shenemar gedi stam afilu parav rachel b'mashma. Right, therefore, what do we see? Since it says it in two places, then we can't learn a binyan av. We're going to assume it's just those two places. And anywhere else it says gdi, it means all other animals. Then they say, v'leilaf minei. But why don't we say, let's learn from both those cases. Both those cases build a prototype, both by Yehuda and Tamar, and by Yaakov and Esav, or Yaakov and Rachel, that it's going to build the prototype for everywhere else. So the Gemara says, no, that's because havu lehu shnei ketuvim, we have a concept. These are two places where it's mentioned, and we've learned shnei ketuvim habaim ke'echad, right? And they don't even say the rest, but, yeah, right, sorry, they do say it. This is a case of shnei ketuvim habaim ke'echad. We know that whenever you have two psukim, if it's one, we can learn to everywhere else. Once you have two, it means just those two and nowhere else, which again leaves us with, when it says gedi in our pasuk about you can't cook gedi b'chalev imo, it means any animal and not just specifically a gedi yizim. So now that only works if you remember there's a machloket about shnei ketuvim. Hani chalaman damar eim elamdim. That's fine according to all those who say shnei ketuvim habayim ke'echad eim elamdim. Ela lemanda amar melamdim. There are those who say shnei ketuvim, you could still learn to kol haTorah kula. It's three psukim already then. If it says it three times, then you can't learn it. So what if you hold that? So what are the answer? Trei mi'utei ktiva. They have a different way of learning it. Izim ha'izim. In each of the cases that we quoted, it says gedi ha'izim. So the ha'idia comes to say it's specific for here. Okay? And therefore, that's why we can't learn from there to the gedi in our case. And therefore, the gedi in our case doesn't mean only gedi. It means any type of animal. Amar Shmuel. Okay, Shmuel's now, you can look at the chart on today's sheet. Okay, it'll help you. Definitely help me to keep Seder here. Okay, Shmuel's going to darshan the six gdim, okay, which is a little weird because there's really only three, and that's going to be the Gemara's question, and that's why you can see some of them are crossed out after. And then he's going to darshan the chalevimo, three mentions of it. Okay, so here comes all our drashot. Amar Shmuel, gdi lirabot et hachelev, meaning if you cook chalev, the fats, the forbidden fats, with milk, it's going to be forbidden, mishum basar b'chalav. Now, what does this sound like already? This is a case of chalev is already forbidden. And now you're going to be also chayav on basar b'chalav, which is going to be connect with, is isr chalal isur? Is that what's going on here? So number one, gdi is going to include chalev. So if you eat chalev with milk, it's going to be forbidden. It's always tricky in this parak, or in general, when you're talking about basar and chalav and chalev, and without the nikud to know what it's talking about. But it's obviously not including chalav. Okay, gdi lirabot et hameta. Okay, if an animal dies, a nevela, if it's a nevela, let's say, and you cook up that meat with milk, you're also chayav on basar b'chalav, even though it's also isur nevela and should be forbidden because of that, and then in isur chalal isur. Gdi lirabot et hashliel. The third mention is to include the shliel, meaning if you slaughter the mother and you eat the animal, the fetus that was inside the mother, and you cook it up, the meat of the fetus with the chalav, with milk, you're going to be chayav also. Now we're going to number four, okay, which again we're going to have to say, where did he get these all from? Gdi lahotziat adam. Okay, the first three were to include cases, the last three are to exclude cases. To say that if you cook blood from the animal with milk, that's not basar b'chalav. Right, it's kind of obvious because it's not even, right? It's not even meat, right? It's just blood. Gdi lahotziat hashilia. The placenta is not meat either, and therefore, if you cook the placenta with milk, you're not going to be chayav mishum basar b'chalav. Gdi lahotziat hatmea. To exclude non-kosher animals. Okay, this is why it's mentioned here, because that was the nosei of our Mishnah. So again, if you cook a non-kosher animal, b'chalev imo, you're not going to be chayav, okay? Or b'eni chalav. You're not going to be chayav, mishum basar b'chalav. Now we're going to get to b'chalev imo, the three mentions, v'lo b'chalav zachar. Okay, you're not going to be chayav if for some reason there would be a male animal that had some milk that came out of it, and you cook that up, you're not chayav. I don't know if that's actually possible, but okay. Bechalev imo, velo bechalav shchuta. Okay, not if you cook it the udder. Remember, if you slaughter the mother and there's milk in the mother's body, right? You're not going to be chayav basar bechalav mishum that. Bechalev imo, velo bechalav tmea. Not in the chalav of a non-kosher animal, just like we said, not the basar of a non-kosher animal with kosher chalav. Also, not kosher meat with chalav of a non-kosher animal. And obviously not non-kosher meat and non-kosher milk. So now the Gemara obviously asks, Hatzlata gedi ktive, but doesn't it say gedi only three times? How did he darshan six times? Vanan, right, and anachnu shitin darshina, meaning Shmuel, really. Not anachnu, but, you know, and Shmuel uses six. Kasavar Shmuel, so now they're going to say, Shmuel held isur chalal isur. Okay? He does hold, we're going to have to question this, but right now they're going to assume, even though we generally saw an Isur Chal al Isur, he holds Isur is Chal al Isur, which means what? That Isur Chelev Vimeta Mechag Kranavke. Once you say it's a teacher, Isur Chal al Isur, you only need one Gedi for the first two. The Chelev and the Meta are both cases of Isur Chal al Isur. So basically he's saying this is to include, right, those two cases. Dam Nami, Dam we're going to take off the list because Lav Gedihu, okay, that's not even meat, so of course that's not, right? Yeah, you said it, kind of connected to the Pasuk, but he didn't even need to, it's not even meat. The Shilya Nami, Pirsha Ba'almahu, okay, and the Shilya, the placenta is also not meat, it's just a, here the like a secretion, it's something that comes out of the body, it's not really it's anything.
Extraneous.
It's extraneous, okay, you could say that. That's what they use. Okay. Anyway, what does that do? That got rid of three. Perfect. Pasha lehu trei. We're left now with two. In other words, we have the first two came out of one gedi, and now we're left with two. Chal rabbi Gashliel v'chal meute behema tmea. Now we get to the real bottom of this, which is v'savar Shmuel isur chal al isur. Does Shmuel really hold isur chal al isur? V'hamar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Doesn't Shmuel say in the name of Rabbi Eliezer? That's what the Masoret Hashas says, to change it to Eliezer. Minayin lekohen tameh she'achal truma tameh she'ina b'mita. How do we know that if a kohen becomes tameh and he eats truma that's already tameh, that he doesn't get mita for this? She'ne'amar umeitu bo ki echaleluhu. Says, and he's supposed to die, right? The Kohanim will die because they contaminated it. Now, if it was already contaminated before, it's already tameh, the truma was messed up before, then he's not going to get the death penalty. Prat lizo, right? That comes to exclude. Prat lizo, shemechulelet ve'omede, right? Since it says, ki yechaleluhu, since he contaminates it, that's going to exclude if it was already mechulal, it was already messed up. So therefore, what do you see here? Shmuel holds in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that you're not going to get any sur chal al isur, because if already it was asur mishum truma tameah, he's not going to be chayav for being for eating that truma because it was already contaminated. So now, ibayit ema ba'alma isur chal al isur. Maybe, and there's one option is to say like this. He holds generally isur chal al isur. Veshane hatam, but the truma case is just an exception to the rule. And then our sugya makes perfect sense. That is an exception. Why is it an exception? Dimiyat rachmana umeitubo. Because the pasuk said umeitubo ki chalalu, it's a special drasha specific to truma. But normally we would say isur chalal isur. That's one way to look at it. Second option to answer, ibay dema. What's the flip? Ba'alma kasavar Shmuel ein isur chalal isur. That's the typical. But shane hacha, our pasuk is an exception to rabbe rachmana gedi. Right? In other words, I was thinking about it when we said the pasuk is coming to tell you, right, l'rabot ha'chelev and the meta, to teach you the isur chal isur, but he could teach that elsewhere, and then you wouldn't even need a pasuk for that. So now they're saying, oh no, because normally in isur chal isur, you specifically need the pasuk here to teach you, right? So it's again, either the pasuk by Trum is unique, or our pasuk is unique, and that obviously affects what Shmuel holds about isur chal isur. By the way, this is interesting. It reminds me of the sugya we saw by Isur Chal al Isur. We were suggesting all sorts of possibilities. It wasn't clear. We talked about it then, that it wasn't clear what people really hold. There, I think, it was Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and whether Rish Lakish holds Isur Chal al Isur or doesn't hold Isur Chal al Isur. We gave many different possibilities. Here, also, they're doing the same thing with Shmuel. We don't know. Does he hold it in general? Which, again, is strange. It's such a basic sugya, and I've not known what Shmuel held about it. It's hard to believe. And the third easiest explanation is Hadi De Hadi Rabbe. One is his own interpretation, and one is, right, the Truma he said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. So maybe he's just saying that in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, but it's not really his opinion. And by us, it's actually his opinion. So he really holds Isur Chal al Isur. Ba'amine Rav Achtavei Bar Ami Merav. He asked a question. Rav, Hamevashel Bechalav Gdi Shelohi Nika Mahu. What if you took the Chalav of a Gdi that never nursed? Okay, Amar le mid itzrichi leShmuel lememar b'chalav imo velo b'chalav zachar hu delo ati lechlal em aval hay kevan deba lechlal em asur. So if you have an animal that's never really been a mother but has a little milk there, so since Shmuel said it's not a chalav zachar, it means that if it's a chalav nekeva, even if she's not yet a mother, since she will eventually become a mother or potentially could become a mother, we're going to include her in the Isur. Okay, last part for today, we're going to talk about a machloket Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. Itmar. Hamevashel chelev bechalav. So now you have, right, you're going to have chelev with chalav, the forbidden fats with the chalav. Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi, so we already saw the Shmuel says, right, that l'rabot et ha-chelev, that it is included. Now we're going to have machloka Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi, chad amar loke v'chad amar eino loke. One says you get malka for this, and one says you don't get malka for this. Now, the nosei is cooking. If you cook them together, do you get malka or not? So why don't we say, the obvious is to say what? Lema b'hakam miflage, that this is dafka der machloka, demanda amar loke kasavar isur chalal isur. That'd be the simplest way to understand this. Isur chalal isur, and therefore it's going to be you're going to get malka or not. So the Gemara says la la la. De kule alma ein isur chalal isur. Right. This was again our general assumption, and that's why it's hard to imagine that Shmuel said isur chalal isur. Our general assumption is the ein isur chalal isur, and therefore aachila de kule alma lo pligi de lalake. Everybody agrees that about eating you're not going to get malka. Why? What's interesting, we're talking about cooking. Now, what's the difference between cooking and eating? There's an isser to eat chelev, but there's no isser to cook chelev. So therefore, if you cooked chelev with chalav, since there's no isur to cook the chelev, is the isur of bishul, chalav, right, basar b'chalav, going to be chal there? So here, achila, nobody, everyone agrees you don't get malkot. Again, we're going to see a bunch of different interpretations. This is the first one. Ki plige abishul, their machloket is about cooking. Manda amar loke chad isurehu. Umanda amar eno loke lahachi afka rachmana la'achila b'lashom bishul. Ke vanda l'achila lo lake abishul nami lo lake. We always say, lo tvashol di b'chalav imo, never says you can't eat it. The point is, when it said bishul, it meant eating. Why did it use the lashon of bishul? To teach you that bishul and achila are the same, which means that if it can't be chalal achila, it can't be chalal bishul. So that's why you're not going to get malkot. And the one who says you get malkot is because he says it's chad isurahu. There's only one isser here. There is no isser levashel chelev. The isser is only levashel chelev with chalav, and therefore you're going to be chayav. That's the first option. Ikada amre, others say. So that was all assuming everyone agrees, achila, you're not going to get malkot. Now we're going to have the opposite option. It's kind of like the previous sugya where we gave all the possibilities in the opposite. Everybody agrees you get malko for the bishul because there is no other isur on chelev about cooking chelev. And therefore, for sure, you're going to get it on bishul. And here it's going to be the reverse. Ki plige achila. Manda amari no loke. If you say you don't get malko, dahayin ein isur chalal isur. Right, that's obvious. You're not going to get malko for eating because ein isur chalal isur, it's already forbidden to eat the chelev. Umanda amar loke. We're now going to go the reverse with that argument. We're going to say achila is equal to bishul, and since you're going to get malkot on bishul, you're also going to get malkot on achila. That's the second. So those are polar opposites. Then the last interpretation is one was talking about you get malkot on eating, and that's for sure not. And the one who said you get malkot says you get malkot on bishul, and it. Everyone agrees then that you get malkot on bishul, you don't get malkot on achila, and even though they threw it as if it was a machloket, it's not actually a machloket, and they both agree. So all three options about how to understand that machloket.